You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Time for Crosstalk here on ESPN 1000.
Crosstalk is brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Fall Thoroughbred Racing is back at Hawthorne Racecourse with a newly remodeled rooftop deck for both sports betting and horse racing. Get in all the action with Hawthorne.
Carmen Yurko, bop, 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 bop. What's up, kid? Fellas?
What's up, kid?
How you doing? Are the Hawks back? That's all I want to know. Are the Hawks back?
The Hawks are back.
Well, they're back to winning at the very least, four in a row. Congratulations go out to the Blackhawks. But until you're over a point-a-game team, you're really not back. So I'm still waiting. I'm being patient.
So the best part of last night is Jim Ross from AEW Wrestling tossing it to the hockey game last night. Because it was AEW Wrestling, right? It was on there.
Was that what was on TNT before?
Yes, it was. Awesome. It was Jim Ross from Norfolk, Virginia. So long, everybody. And all of a sudden, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, here come the Hawks.
Here's Kenny Albert and Eddie Olchek live in Seattle.
It's perfect. Like,
fantastic. You know,
oh, my God. Sammy Guevara, he wins the match. Now time for hockey. Blackhawks hockey. So long, everybody. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, when you're an announcer on one of those games, too, you'll get the sheet where you're going to have to kick it to. Oh. Used to watch Eli Gold have to send it to Rodeo or something.
That's
crazy.
Right. It's
CNN.
It's so great.
Or where were we? The Nashville Network.
You were on TNN. I watched you a long time ago. You and Eli Gold.
And Jill Arrington on the sidelines. Oh, man.
Along with John Yurkovich.
What a crew.
Eli Gold here.
That's the Grand Rapids Rampage. Eric Dolzell against the Chicago Rush and Bob McKenzie. I think McKenzie was a good player, fullback. James McKenzie. I forget what his name is, but, man, he was a good kid.
Yurk, what do you think, man? Another run in the booth. Another run.
I'm ready, but, you know,
I'm pushing for my guy.
The USFL is coming into town, too, so I got a connection with the USFL, with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh.
You know, maybe I get one of the lesser games, the milk game, you know? Maybe
the they'll milk say, game. There's a milk game in the USFL?
Oh, yeah. There's always a milk game, kid. Goes to 2% of the country.
The best, the milk game.
The milk game.
The 2% of the country.
You get the 2% of the country.
That's all you get.
The Boston Breakers. That's what we get.
I'm trying to think. What's the milk game for this weekend? There's a lot of 1 o'clock games today. Right, oh, you know what it is? It's probably Dolphins. Here's the milk game, right?
Jaguars.
Dolphins and Jets, although it's a New York market. Dolphins and Jets with Joe Flacco starting. It's like, oh, God.
With the Jets, I think with New York, it's hard to get 2% of the market.
Jayville, Indianapolis
is a milk game, you know?
Well, that's not this weekend, but I see what you're saying.
But that's what I'm trying to get there for you, you know?
Yeah.
Minnesota. Like, if Minnesota struggles, Minnesota shoot around to the South Carolina. Minnesota-Carolina usually is a milk game type situation.
That's definitely milk game. Jags host the Niners at 1. There's certain games, and there's so many in the 1 o'clock window that if you're watching Red Zone or if you got on the other TV, there's no way you're putting on Jets-Dolphins, right? Even when it comes on, you're like, ugh.
You got to love your partner, the 1 o'clock game.
He's East Coast guy.
You're broadcasting from Jersey today?
The 1 o'clock window? The only reason I'm saying is that it's because I'm looking at the full board right now, and they do always put the East Coast times on here. So it's all I see all the 1
it's
o'clock
the East Coast
Eastern.
Bias. Yeah, East yeah. Coast bias.
Hey, Hoodie, you didn't know I'm in Hoboken today.
I didn't know you were in Hoboken.
Hey, I'm surprised you didn't have the West Coast bias. The 10 a.m. tilt.
The 10 a.m. Well, nobody ever says the 10 a.m. tilt.
What's the 10 a.m. card?
Hey, no, I'm doing the Frank Sinatra tour today.
That's unbelievable.
That's why I'm in Hoboken.
You know what? You have to make the adjustment. When I was on vacation in San Diego, like on a Sunday morning, and you're just getting up like, what am I going to have for breakfast? Now it's immediate. Like, 10 a.m. Now I got to get going here. It took me off guard, Carm.
It's like being in Vegas for an NFL Sunday.
Yeah, going to the window.
By 10 o'clock, man, you need to be at the book by 8 a.m. to get because you want to get a good seat.
That's the mistake, yeah. Yeah, I tried to bet English Premier League football in Vegas. The games are over. They're in the 89th minute. I'm like, what the hell did I do? What did I do? I screwed up.
Hey, 10 a.m. games are kicking off in Vegas. You better get up early, get some breakfast, and get ready, man.
Now, what did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
That was you at the book trying to figure it out, right?
What did I do?
So, and usually you could tell the milk game based on the announcing staff, right?
Oh, yeah.
See,
oh,
yeah. So, like, the Chris
Myers. When I was doing it, it was Ray Bentley and John Yerkovich.
That's right. That's right.
Ray Bentley was my color commentator. Not my color commentator. He was the
play-by-play
guy. And Ron Pitts. Because Ron Pitts and John Yerkovich. Oh, boy, we're in trouble.
Now, here's the thing about Ray Bentley. So, you knew that was the milk game because that's a former player trying to work out his play-by-play chops.
Yes.
And so it was just kind of like,
same thing with Ron Pitts.
Put him in the bottom.
Pitts was doing the same thing. He was trying to become a play-by-play guy, too.
Yeah. That's a tough. You know who tried that, too? Fouts tried it.
I don't remember.
Did you know
that?
Just for a year.
Yeah.
They tried it because Fouts. His background, his dad was a broadcaster or something like this.
Fouts was trying to do play-by-play?
Yes, he was, just for a year.
I remember that. Really?
Sure did.
I didn't know that.
Obviously, that didn't work out.
No, it didn't work out. Better as an analyst, for sure.
So look at the slate, right? Aqib Talib and Gus Johnson probably are down there toward the bottom.
By the way, I like Aqib Talib. I mean,
I know.
I like him because he's different. He's not like all, you know, he's not all buttoned up and proper. Like, he just kind of, he speaks passionately from the heart. I like Aqib Talib.
And a parody opportunity with him. We got Talib. I mean, there's a parody opportunity there for anybody wants to put that together.
Aqib Talib, in my heart. Aqib Talib, Chicago.
Another one. How about that?
So there you have it. So you always check it from that. If you get that, you get to certain announcers, and York remembers this. I mean, he would only get four cameras. Like the main ones get 9, 10, 12 cameras. You get four cameras. You barely got the Fox thing behind you. You have no banner. You've got a mic with no mic flag. That's usually the worst, right? That's usually the milk crew, right?
Right, exactly. Houston, here's your milk game. San Francisco at Jacksonville this week.
That's what I was saying. Or Detroit, Cleveland.
Cincinnati-Vegas. Cincinnati-Vegas could be it, too.
Yeah, maybe.
Cincinnati-Vegas.
Detroit-Cleveland is compelling.
Detroit-Cleveland, right? I mean, like,
Well, I mean,
Cleveland's
at least Baker's
decent.
At least Baker
and Baker's a star.
They've got some storylines in Cleveland.
Yeah, and when I say a star, don't get me wrong.
And
Baker's
Detroit,
not a star quarterback. Baker's a star pitchman.
Not a win, but they won't go 0-16 or 0-17 this year. Not a win, but they can't go 0-17.
But they can go 0-16-1.
Yes, they can, which they might. The Bears get the A crew, guys. They got although some people say it's not the A crew because they get they're annoyed by. That's what Merck told me. Merck, didn't you tell me it's Romo Nance?
You say Romo Nance for this game?
Yeah, Jim Nance said it last week. They're doing the game.
Yeah, it's Romo Nance this week.
For what? Come on.
Well, seven Fox games, too. So the seventh team on that Fox game is that could be a Dave deal. They're breaking open the canister.
I don't know that Dave's still doing it.
I know, but when you get a seventh game, because they got six teams that are automatic all the time, you know, with the buys, somebody gets a little time off. But now that you've got a seventh Fox game during the week or during Sunday, you might break open a Dave deal today.
They might.
We don't know.
I want my guy York back in the movie. Here's why. If Waddle can slide in and do some ESPN radio, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's national for ESPN radio.
Oh, he does national?
Did you see that a couple weeks ago?
Sneaky little bastard.
Yeah, he did. I had to find out secondhand, but I mean, that's like, wow. Like him and Kessler?
Yeah, he's not bragging about it. He's keeping it on the QT.
I know he does it, but
snapping necks and cashing checks. That's what he's doing.
I would like another run for my guy, York.
I'm ready.
One more run.
I did a Bear game. Did you know that?
When?
The Atlanta-Chicago Bears game, Urlacher's rookie season. Philip Daniels forces a fumble on the corner. Urlacher picks it up, goes all the way.
It was like 90 yards or something, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Chris Chandler and Michael Vick sharing the quarterback responsibilities that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was a good game. It was Ray Bentley.
It was Ray Bentley.
I only worked with Ray Bentley and Ron Pitts. They were the only ones I did.
The best.
I didn't do anything else. Six games in my Fox career. That's what I got. And then I went straight
pretty good
to Mike Alzamora and the Chicago Rush.
That's nothing wrong
Mike
with that.
Mike Alzamora.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mike Alzamora. Mike Cohen. All the fellas were up there.
What did Mike Alzamora bring to Chicago sports radio? He said, my guy. Now, everyone said my guy. He was the first one to say my guy. My guy.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding. I didn't realize.
There's a little history. When Jonathan writes his book, and I can't wait because everybody gets to write one now. When you get to write your book,
I need some people to die first.
I can't wait for tonight's book party. I mean,
tonight's
this thing
a big book party.
Is going to be a who's who tonight up there in Northbrook, kid.
Flame Company for Merck, baby.
Company. It's going to be great.
I am dressed to kill today in my Packer outfit today. Got my Packer alumni shirt on. I'm getting ready to go up there and have a good time.
Now, Randy, if I show up, just tell security that we work together. Don't have me escorted out because I know I'll be late. Yeah. Just be careful.
You got that, Randy?
Yeah, I got that. Yeah.
All right. Just make sure.
York, do you want some sliders maybe tonight or
the motherlode?
Motherlode?
No, listen, guy. I don't know what's going to be available. A charcuterie tray, maybe.
No, I don't think there'll be a charcuterie.
I'm just trying to, you know, what are the appetizers going to be tonight? I mean, you have a book signing party like this. There's got to be a to do. You know,
yes. Is there water?
Bavarian pretzels.
Is there no expense, Merck, or
some
what?
Cheese. I mean, what's going on?
I guess I can have some hors d'oeuvres out there.
27-year-old candy is not going to cut it this time.
But, okay. But part of your personality, Randy, is candy and cookies.
That's true.
So that should be a nice treat for that.
That's
right?
True. Should be a sweet treat.
That's
yes.
True.
Merck, who picks up the tab? Is it the publisher or you that picks up the
no,
tab?
No. If anything, it's me.
What do you mean, if anything? You don't know who's picking up the tab?
I would want to know that.
Tom, I've never done one of these before, okay? I mean, this isn't like a B'nai Mitzvah where you can go on what other people have done. I've only been to one. It was Chet's at the East Bank Club, okay?
Uh-huh. Is this thing on the arm tonight, or is this coming out of your
pocket? Do people have to pay out of their own pocket tonight?
Yeah, what do you think?
If anything leads you to believe that... the proper accommodations were not made.
What kind of book release parties is everybody's got to go in their own pocket?
I'm going to have two old fashions. I'm going to get a bill.
What the hell's going on?
This isn't a B'nai Mitzvah, Carm. I mean,
it's a book release. You got to have the publisher should be springing for this. What do you mean?
Actually, Scott Merkin will be paying for it.
Yeah, who's the publisher?
Scott's in Vegas right now. Scott won't be there.
Who's the publisher on this? Camphor? Is it Camphor Books Publishing? What do we have here?
Eckhart's Press.
Eckhart Press. Yeah.
Okay. Teresa Eckhart.
Listen, you're raking it in over there right now. I bought my book. People are buying them left and right. You got to be springing for this.
Is it okay if I just give you $60? Do I have to take the books?
Yeah, I think he...
I'm just asking. I mean, I don't know. I got to say
that's fine. Whatever you feel comfortable with.
Can I donate 60 to the cause?
Zetterman just found out he's going to paint. He goes, you know what? Something came up, Merck. I can't make it tonight.
That's a problem, man.
Listen, Carmen, it's a celebration, right?
That's right. We are celebrating tonight. That's for darn sure.
But you should stop at the Jewels if you have one out there.
Pick up some cookies from the Jewels or something.
There's a Mariano's literally sandwich away from this restaurant.
There's a Ruth Chris right down the street. I'm going to stop there.
Oh.
Pick up some lobster.
That's Waddle's one of Waddle's go-tos.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I'll tell him I know Tommy Waddle. I said, put it on Waddle's bill. That's what I'm going to tell him.
Put it on the Waddle tab.
Put it on the tab. Put it on Waddle's tab.
I go on there and they say, oh, Keith Jennings, we have a table for you.
Right this way.
Number 85, Keith Jennings.
That was the best, man. That's what I'm going to miss about Bourbonnais so much, man. You go
Hell
there.
Yes,
man,
yes.
Look, kid, I don't have a uniform on. They think I'm on injured reserve.
Oh, right.
And the kids, the little toe-headed kids there across the fence, they say, please, don't be a jag, please. All right, no problem. 85, Keith Jennings. There you go, pal.
And they're like, hey, who's Keith Jennings?
It's like awesome. I don't want to let the kids down, York. They believe that I'm a player. They think I'm an injured reserve.
You got to sign something. You have to.
Yeah.
Well, it happens. Yeah, it happens. There's nothing wrong with that. It's innocent mistake.
62 Dan Jiggetts.
That's
I've done that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jig.
Kick us out, York.
Time to go, guys. Time to go.
All right.
See you tomorrow, Eddie.
All right, man. A little Bulls talk today, hopefully.
Yeah, Bulls, Hawks, a lot of Bears, Ravens, NFL tonight. I got a prop. You know, I don't play many props, but I played one for tonight. I want to run it by these guys, see what
love
they
it.
Think.
All right.
Yeah, it's the only thing I have on the game tonight. I don't think I'm going to bet the game, but I did put a little wager down on a game on a player
money,
prop.
So. I put money on Cordarrelle Patterson won't play tonight.
Oh. It doesn't. I don't think he's going to play.
Oh, ticket to cash. Sorry,
he's listed as questionable, but questionable. I would not bet. I would. Yeah. I think Yergo's absolutely right.
I'm not starting him.
Short week, yeah, it might not play him.
I mean, it seems like it's a high ankle sprain, so
right.
He may be out for a couple weeks.
Okay, guys, time to go.
All right, see you, boys. See you, Hoodie.
Are you leaving, Carm? Carm, you're going next.
I'm going back on this Sinatra tour. Like you said, it's 1 o'clock. What time? It's 11:16 here, Hoodie. I'm out. That's it.
So long, everybody.
Now, what did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko. And at ESPN_Chicago. The This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Time to get Rushified, Yurk. All right, we kick off week 11 in the NFL tonight. It's the Falcons hosting the Pats. The Bears play Sunday at Soldier Field, and some money coming in on the Bears, Yurko. Maybe that's because Lamar Jackson missed practice because he was sick yesterday. It's not COVID, so I'm sure he'll play, but I got a 4.5 of 5.
Carm, I got a minor vibe tonight.
You got a vibe for tonight?
I got a vibe tonight. Atlanta at home.
Atlanta's at home where they have failed to cover a spread this season, Yurk, FYI. So,
that's what I'm getting at here. Atlanta at home on what type of day? This is prime time for them, right? Atlanta hasn't had many prime time dates this year, have they? This is their chance to show out, right?
Yeah.
So New England's been on what they call a little bit of a run here, have they not?
Oh, my God, have they ever?
Yeah, they've been on a little bit of a run. So what happens when you go on the road? It's hiccup time. I call that hiccup time.
On a short week, right?
On a short team, how much is Atlanta getting here?
6.5 or 7.
I think taking the touchdown there in a game that's going to probably be won by a field goal either way. I love the Atlanta Falcons tonight.
All right. Maybe they're due. There are only two teams in the NFL that have not covered a spread at home this season.
Right.
Atlanta and Kansas City.
Right.
Those are the only two. Maybe Atlanta gets it done tonight. The only thing I have positioned for tonight is a prop bet I made, and that is on Jacoby Myers to score a touchdown. And why, Yurko? Because he finally broke through with a touchdown last week. The first one of his career. I think the floodgates are going to open. This is a story I think people have kind of followed as the season's gone on, and I joked about it with you weeks ago when they were... You know what game it was? I think it was the game in which New England was playing Dallas, and that was one of those late afternoon games, and I was watching that game, and Nance and Romo were doing that game, and Jim Nance had made a reference to Jacoby Myers got tackled down near the one, and he said, is this finally going to be it? No. And so he still doesn't have a career touchdown. And I stopped, and I went, that can't be. I'm like, there's no way that could possibly be. Like, he's been the only receiver there. Kendrick Bourne, I guess. But I'm like, he's been there for 3 years. He played with Tom Brady for a year. I'm like,
right.
There's no way I heard that correctly, that Jacoby Myers has never scored a touchdown in the NFL. He's put like 40 games, and sure enough, he until last week, and it was one of the stories of the weekend. In garbage time, Mac Jones wasn't even in. He finally scored his first touchdown, and that those players in that building erupted, and they felt so happy for him and so good for him. The floodgates are going to open, and I played Jacoby Myers to score a touchdown for the second straight week.
What odds did you get? That's a horrible bet.
Plus 150.
Ugh, horrible.
Plus 150 on a $100 bet, 1.5 to 1.
Plus,
he's got one career touchdown. They go to Hunter Henry. They run a lot.
7 touchdowns for Hunter Henry.
Should be 8 to 1 for this guy to score another touchdown.
That's what I'm saying. It's a horrible bet.
That's terrible odds, Carm.
8 to 1. Who gets 8 to 1 to score a touchdown in an NFL?
Guy who scored one career touchdown. Oh, nice. +150.
What's Cole Kmet to score a touchdown in this weekend's game?
Let's see.
Hey, guy's got what? 2 touchdowns in his career? What are you going to make him +110?
You usually look for value, my friend.
I'm not laying money. Oh, of course I got caught up in the narrative. What did I just tell you?
But
that's why I just explained it.
You're usually logical when you look for value.
I'm stunned.
Well, Miller, I'm not laying $150.
I know, but
you know what +150 means?
The value. Yes. I know what +150 means. But what's the payout? What are the odds you're being given?
1.5.
+150.
Exactly. That's the point for a guy who scored one career touchdown.
Let's see. What is Kmet, by the way? I'm looking for Kmet. I think you think I'm laying money on
No, I understand.
No, he doesn't. He knows
you
what you're
You should be getting 3, 4, 5 to 1.
Exactly, instead of 1.5 to 1. That's all he's trying to tell you. 3 to 2 at the worst.
Why can't I find
Which is what you're getting. Here we go. 2.
Bears, Ravens, game props. Let's see. There's too much on here, Yurko.
That's all right. Not a problem.
Do you know how many wagers you can make on each individual NFL game at this point?
Probably about 45 to 70 wagers on each individual game.
So if you go like right now, if I click on here's Bears, Ravens. This is not even – this will probably go up as we get closer to game day too. You can right now make 121 wagers on the game. For tonight's Thursday night game – There are 223 separate wagers you can make on the game. 223. Can you believe that?
That's crazy, yeah. Kid, you know who got hot on TVG last night?
TVG, what's
TVG.
That?
TVG, Penn National, I was betting. I was betting race
courses. That's course. The race car, the race yeah. courses, right? Yeah. Or the racetracks, right?
Just taking the third horse that's being predicted and running a key box exacta, top and bottom. I ended up cashing for about $210 yesterday.
We are like, this is it, man. There's gambling everywhere. You're betting some random races on a Wednesday, and you're keying what? Like through the third-place finishers?
The third-place horse that's predicted to finish third.
Got it.
I took him in two straight races, and I took my tab from $140 up to about $325
now. Look at you, dude.
So thank heavens. It's about time I won in horse racing.
So you had a profitable night. For some reason, For some reason, there are no player props yet. I'm not sure why, but maybe because it's Thursday.
I don't think those come up until later in a week, man.
Yeah, for the games on Sunday, there are no player props yet, so I cannot tell you what it is, my friend. Their only player prop page right now that happens to be open on my site is tonight's game for week 11.
I think Yurko's on to something. I think Atlanta.
You like the cover tonight?
Well, remember what they did in their last game? They were embarrassed by the Cowboys. Yeah. That game was a joke. So if they don't come out ready to go tonight.
There's a number of different factors that are in favor of Atlanta responding tonight with an effort.
The one thing I'll say is, Carm, if for tonight's game, do you have an over-under on Kyle Pitts' yardage total?
Of course.
You know New England. I think you said this yesterday, right?
Yeah, you know where I'm going, York.
Mellor thinks that Belichick is going to take him away from the offense.
You want yardage total?
Yeah, produce. What's his yardage total?
Kyle Pitts over 68.5 receiving yards and a scoring touchdown.
That's perfect, though, because you know me. I love the 69s, but I'm still taking the under, my friend. 68.5, I would pound the under because look at if Patterson's not out there on the field. Who's he going to take away? There's only one guy. Calvin Ridley's not playing. He's taking the mental health break. So Kyle Pitts is the only real guy on that offense who you need to account for.
So does he let Russell Gage get his? I mean, you could get Russell Gage over 43.5 and a touchdown at like 5.5-1. Now you need to have both things happen, but. I don't know. The player props get too, like, I don't play a lot of these because it's like, why can't I just find.
But you'll gladly pound the over or
well,
the
pound,
the
pound.
The Jacoby Myers scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, at the watered down odds of plus 150.
Boy, I didn't know I was going to get so
I'm
much
just
crap
amused.
For it.
I you of all people, you put.
I'm totally playing the floodgates are going to open for the guy.
I guess.
That's it.
Because you crushed, I remember the Schwarber Rizzo home run combo. The parlay.
Well,
hit
yeah,
for
that's
you.
A huge odds because that's you having two.
I understand
happening.
That. But
we got the boost, Carm, and we got the boost,
and we got a boost on.
And how come we haven't done that yet? The Carmen creates his play. Why haven't we done that again?
We can do that whenever we want.
Well, what are we waiting for, Carm? We should be doing that all the time. It should be the premier thing on your site.
Yeah, we can
ask for Jacoby Myers plus 200.
Maybe we should. Let's get it boosted up.
Yeah, big boost. They go, oh, but we've got it at plus 400. We'll knock it down to plus 200.
Yeah, I wish it would just give you. They're too complicated now. Like there's that, and that's why I don't really play them. Like everything is rolled into a parlay. Oh, this and this have to happen. Like, why is the player prop page now? Like, oh, you have to have yards and a touchdown. It's like, no, just give me yards or
that's
you know,
it.
Like it's why is it got to be
both.
So complicated? No,
yeah, if I bet
like
on a guy getting a touchdown, you're gonna have one catch for 10 yards and
right.
it's a touchdown.
Exactly.
What the hell's going on? It must be too easy. That's why they're trying to make it more difficult.
I mean, your head spins when you look through these pages. 225 different bets. It's like, oh, my God, how do you know what to pick? Well, Yurk's on the record. He's going with the underdog.
I'm on the
tonight,
record tonight.
So we'll
Atlanta.
See.
Atlanta at home. Remember what they say, the dog at home always gets the bone.
Especially the dog in primetime at home. Good kid.
Love
Bulls
it.
Bulls had a great start last night, really faded in the second half. They just played a lousy third quarter. That
44.
Ended up doing them in.
I don't have the box score in front of me. These guys can vouch for it. But when you score 44 points in the second half, your chances of victory are no good. 22-22. That's it.
We'll talk a little
when
Bulls
you do
when
that,
we come
you're
back.
No good. That's no good right there.
Yeah. Hey, look, we're going to be analyzing games probably, and we're going to scrutinize them probably more than we thought we would when the season started because the Bulls are really good.
There's some expectations, Carl.
Yeah, there's huge expectations all of a sudden because of the good start they've gotten off to. Now at 10-5 on the year and 2-2 on the road trip. One more win, you come home with a winning road trip. I think every Bulls fan would have said, yeah, you take that, considering they were playing some good teams. 312-332-3776. We start our breakdown of Bears and Ravens. We will do McKnight at the movies 1 hour from now. We do it every Thursday. You do not want to miss that. So a loaded Thursday show, as always. We're getting closer and closer to Week 11 in the NFL. It's Carmen and Yurko, and we'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Bulls shot a blistering 45% from distance last night and did a lot of damage in the first half, but still lost the game because they had a bad second half, really had a terrible third quarter where they just turned the ball over too much, scored only 22 points, and let the Portland Trailblazers get back into the game. You start turning it over in the NBA these days with all the shooting that is out there on the floor, Yurk. I mean, everybody can shoot threes. Everybody's encouraged to shoot threes. Everybody can make threes. And you start turning it over, and the other team starts running a little bit and getting clean looks from distance. And 15, 17 points can disappear in a blink in the NBA in these days. And that, to me, that's what felt like happened in the third quarter yesterday. You know, it was just, it was kind of gone in a poof in about a 4 or 5 minute span where the Bulls were sloppy, missed some shots, turned the ball over, and, you know, next thing you know, Dame is hitting them from the logo like he always does, and Norman Powell and a couple other guys are cannon threes, and you're like, oh, this that lead's gone, and they're going to be in a dogfight now. And that was the story last night.
Carmen, if you take a look at it, 240 seconds, right? 24-second shot clock, 10 possessions, 5 each way.
Yeah.
You go 0 for 5, they hit 5 3-pointers, it's 15 points right there.
Done.
That's how quick it is in the NBA.
That's how fast it happens. You're right, man.
240 seconds, 4 minutes, you can go from having something comfortable to having nothing at all.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. 5 possessions, 3-pointers, that's it. 5 up, 5 down, boom. Next thing you know, what just happened to us? What just happened to us? That's the way it works. So, yeah, in the NBA nowadays, with the, especially now they're pumping them up, you don't even need 24 seconds anymore, Carm.
No.
Some of these teams are getting shots up every 12 seconds when they can.
Yeah.
They get the ball. Fast. They keep 12 on the clock. They don't even worry about it.
Yeah, I don't want to play fast. This small ball lineup is still fun and interesting, and I think there are certain games where it's really going to help them. I mean, like tomorrow night it might hurt. Who knows? We'll see. Because they have a difficult matchup, but because Vooch is out right now with COVID.
How long till we get the Big Sur back?
That's a good question. Will Vooch, can he play tomorrow? Probably not. Not until they come back home, I don't think, right? Because doesn't he have to be 10 days? He definitely has to be 10 days. I just have to go back and check the timeline on that, Yurk. So I don't think he's going to play tomorrow. Because he's out, because P. Will's out for probably the entire season, they're doing this, Derek Jones Jr. at the five. I mean, they're going with this real small ball lineup, but like they're athletic enough where they can, and they're long enough where they can, like, they can sort of get by with it. You know, they can switch and they can still kind of hold their own around the basket. And it's like, it's a good lineup that I think will, at least they're learning something about themselves and what they can deploy as the season goes on. I love it. And in the first half, it was fantastic last night. So we're still learning things about this team. We're learning that they're fun. They play with a pretty good pace, which I like a lot. And, you know, I can't say enough about the start they're off to. Last night was a little disappointing. We're going to scrutinize all these now because the expectations are starting to raise, you know. But, hey, I think every Bulls fan is cool with that. Like, let's scrutinize them. When they blow a game like they did last night, let's get on it a little bit. Let's scrutinize it. Let's talk about it. It's better than the alternative.
Right. It means it matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it, Carm. It means it matters. It means these games do matter. You want to see what it looks like. What are you going to have to do to improve? You
absolutely,
know, who can you count on? Because not everybody's going to get as much time as they do now with one man down. So who can you count on? Who can't you count on? Will all your guys end up staying healthy too? So, yeah. You have to. You take a look at it, put them under the microscope, and see what the hell's going on. It's about time, right?
Yes.
It's about time. It's been a long time since Derrick Rose was here and Joakim Noah and Luol Deng. It's been a long time since people cared.
Absolutely.
Now, right, said Fred, our guy on Twitter, right, said Fred, he's cared for a long time, but he was convinced that this team was good with the guys that they had before, and they weren't. Now,
they were never good with
totally
the guys
different
they
type. Yes. Yeah. It's a totally different team. Now they've got a chance.
Yeah. And the Blackhawks won last night. I don't know what's going on.
Well, they're playing the Kraken, Carm.
They beat Arizona a couple nights ago. I think Arizona's got one win.
They didn't make they didn't make the same mistake with the Vegas Knights. You know, they didn't overload them with draft choices so they can be good and win a championship in their second year.
Yeah. Well,
so they didn't make that mistake. They didn't.
Vegas went to the final in its first year.
Oh, they didn't win it?
No. Okay. They went to the final in that first year, remember. But Vegas has been competitive every season they've been in the league virtually.
Yes.
I mean, they're really good. And I don't know that the gift was quite the same. You might be right, Yerk. I mean, yeah. The Kraken haven't come out of the gates the way Vegas did. They're not very good. Arizona is absolute, whatever they're called now, Phoenix, Arizona. I think they're called Arizona.
Yeah, the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah they are Coyotes. Absolutely dreadful. Yeah. You know, they beat the Pens playing without Crosby and Malkin right now. I don't want to poo-poo it, but because they do appear to look like a different team. And defensively, they seem to be so much better. They're not getting lit up as much. The high danger chances are going down. So I guess the coaching change was necessary. I mean, what else can you say?
I think the
nothing else has changed.
The regime change was necessary. Getting that the bald-headed little guy out of there was important as well.
Hmm.
You know who I'm talking about.
Of course, Stan. Yeah.
Stan the man. It's important to get him out of there and his stench.
But isn't the coach more important because that's what the players are responding to every day?
I think they were. You remember, they played for Quenneville, kid. Remember. Then the organization chose Stan Bowman as the guy, okay, that's going to stay.
Yeah.
I think there's a little animosity created there between the players and Stan Bowman. You may not believe it. I'm telling you what I believe. Okay?
No, that could be. I see what you're saying. But I'm just asking, they're still going to respond. Aren't they going to respond more to, like, the new voice in the room when that happens? Because that's the guy who's pushing them every day, coaching them, they're at practice with, you know? Like, I don't know. Maybe if they would have kept Stan – I'm sorry. Maybe if they would have kept Jeremy and just got rid of Stan, like, you think they would have at some point played better? I mean, that happened for a few games, right? I mean,
right.
Jeremy was still around for a few games after they blew everything out because of the scandal, and they still stunk.
I think Carlton was one and the same. They were tied at the hip. Okay, I don't think Carlton could separate himself from being Stan's guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think they were tied at the hip. They were there. That's
so
it.
So he had to go.
It was a package deal. They both should have been gone at the same time.
What did you ever see from Jeremy Carlton, though, that would lead you to believe that he's even an average coach?
Nothing. The only thing I'll say, Meller, is what I remember people in the league saying about the Hawks with the restart in the COVID year. And look, they were gifted an opportunity to be in there. We've explained this. The league kind of looked at the standings. It was 2020. Everything shut down. And coming out of it, the league looked and said, Montreal and the Blackhawks have a chance to, if we do this right, to be in our playoff. Yeah, let's do it. Why not? I mean, they were completely gifted an opportunity.
Put 12 teams in each conference.
But the one thing I remember people around the league saying was that, and, like, some of them were giving Carlton credit that the Hawks were a pesky team to play, that they played hard, that they were not an easy team to play. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know what
maybe,
else I can point to, really.
Maybe, but clearly, whatever system he runs.
He was preaching this whole man-to-man
defensive
thing.
Yeah, like the problem was defensively, you know, they were lacking on the blue line, and you're going to run a completely different system. I don't know. And it just showed time and time again that whatever he was trying to do, the message was not getting home.
Yeah, they weren't capable of it. And they weren't capable of executing it.
And
it never worked.
And the fact that they've instantly come out and won four games here, whether it's the new voice in the room or not, it's a huge indictment to me on Carlton and whatever system he was trying to run.
It is. I think it is. It's a bad look. And that system that he was so abstinent about, maybe he needed to be more flexible. I don't want to get in the weeds on like X's and O's stuff with hockey because it's tough enough for people to follow, let alone when you start talking about man-to-man versus zone defensive philosophies. I mean, it's really
complicated. I'm not
going to
pretend
stuff.
Like I know everything that's going on out there, but the truth is that lots of people who do know the game have written about the fact that it's not really
it's not ideal.
It was never ideal. The whole idea wasn't cohesive to the talent he had.
Right.
And then, like the little things too. Like I pointed out, what was it, when they made the change to Derek King, all of a sudden they're running drills in practice where every player's participating and there's not wasted time. That seems to make a difference, apparently.
Well, I'm with Yerk. Wake me when they get to be a point per game, and we'll see if we can get more excited about
another
them.
Another 10 games, Carmen.
They're
could
a long
happen.
Way from that,
yeah,
Yerk.
Another 10 games, it could happen.
I mean, they're still like,
I think they've got 12 points.
They do. They have 12 points.
16 games.
That's correct.
I'm guessing, yes.
That's absolutely correct. 12 and 16 games. They're 5-9-2 now on the year. But that start, is probably going to end up
bearing. It's going to
stifle them. You get off to a start like that.
It's hard to recover, Carm.
Yeah,
it's not saying you can't recover. you can recover, but you've got to play exceptional. You got to be getting 1.5 points a game the rest of the way out. That's it. 1.5. That's the rest of the way out. You got to start getting a 1.5 for each one of those, so you can go ahead and get out of the bottom and get into playoff contention.
Yeah. What does JVG think about the Bulls, and what does he think about some of Scotty's comments here recently, and what he's writing in the book? Why is Scotty really doing all this? The 1.8. Jeff Van Gundy was in the building for that, for crying out loud. He had some great stuff with Waddle and Sylvie yesterday. We'll play a few of those bites for you coming up next. This hour with Carmen and Yurko is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Get the service you deserve and refinance today at HeroLoans.com. The only way to VA. Visit thehomeloanexpert.com.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
Hope you heard Waddle and Sylvie yesterday and every day, and heard Jeff Van Gundy on with the guys. Always very good and entertaining, talking about the league.
By the way, Carm,
we love talking to Jeff Van Gundy.
They have a good 3 o'clock hour today. They've got Barkley at 3, followed by Jeff Garland at 3:30 today.
Well, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Is Garland coming in studio?
I don't know.
Okay. I still haven't started the updated season of Curb. I got to get on that.
And that's shocking because you guys are usually on top of that.
Love it. I know. I love Curb. It's just, the
pretty good.
This time of year with football, Yerk, we got everything else going on. The Bulls are competitive and it's Hawk season. And with football season, I definitely don't watch as much TV that's not sports this time of year. And the one show that my wife and I are catching up on that, much to Meller's dismay, all the better choices that are out there. We did start Billions a few weeks back, and it's a fine show. I mean, I love Giamatti. It's certainly nothing. It's not what Cap says it is. I mean, that's for damn sure. I mean, it's a fine show. It's entertaining. It's very formulaic. I describe it as like it's a dramatic entourage, where it's basically... The script is basically the same every single episode.
So I was having a debate the other day. Do you prefer Succession or Billions?
I don't watch Succession.
What?
I've heard that is a better show. That's what I've heard.
I thought you watched it. I didn't realize you didn't watch.
I don't. And so I feel like I'm kind of wasting time. I'm not going to lie. But we're sort of pot committed because we're into season 3.
That's fair.
And so the few moments I get where I'm not watching NFL or looking at tape or watching the Bulls, I'm watching Billions. I haven't started Curb yet, and I need a few shows that Mellor's told me to start. I want to start Yellowstone.
I was going to say, I'm so far, I'm with you. Football season is and basketball season, it's tough because I'm right there with you. I'm trying to catch up on Succession. I'm like 2 episodes behind on that. Yellowstone just started, and they had a 2-hour premiere a couple weeks ago. Their second episode last Sunday. It's rough. These are shows I love that I can't make time for.
You just can't do it right. I spent an hour yesterday watching the Dolphins and the Ravens because the Bears are playing the Ravens this week. Shame on me because it was horrid. But that's what I'm occupying my time with instead of watching some of these shows. So once football season's over, I'll get into some other stuff, but I got to talk to you, Yurko, coming up after 11, and you'll have the bare necessities tomorrow, but about some of the stuff from that Ravens game. We'll talk a little bit more Bears-Ravens here coming up after 11 o'clock. Jeff Van Gundy was on yesterday with Waddle and Sylvie. Check out the podcast if you missed it. Here's JVG real quick just talking about when the guys brought him in, they were talking about how excited they are, and we all are, to see a much more competitive Bulls team. And here was Van Gundy with some of his thoughts on the Bulls offseason.
I really appreciate what the Bulls did. They went against conventional thinking, and it's paid off for them. They were under criticism for signing DeMar DeRozan, who right now would probably be in the top 5 votes for MVP. And I give Arturas Karnišević and Billy Donovan so much credit for what they did in the offseason to reshape a floundering team, really.
This team added a lot of talent going back to the trade for Vooch last year and then what they did in the offseason, and they did it cleverly and creatively considering they had to operate as an over-the-cap team. in the offseason to put themselves in position to be fielding a more competitive team. The guys, of course, brought up Michael and Scotty in the book and all that, and Van Gundy coached against those teams for so long, whether it was an assistant with the Knicks or as a head coach, and they asked him if he was a little surprised at how pissed off Scotty seemingly is at Michael after the Last Dance.
Well, is he truly upset, or is he just trying to sell a book? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know his mindset, so it would be really hard for me to try to evaluate. And I think he made a good point. Like, the one point he made was, I don't think they won because Jordan yelled at players, right? They won because Jordan is the greatest basketball player I've ever seen, along with, you know, Jabbar and James, right? I mean, like, he was that good, and he was driven every single night. So I'm sure all the accolades going to him probably irked some, you know, some Bulls. And you've heard Horace Grant say some things in the past. You know, like, I'm sure they wish they would have gotten more of the, you know, accolades. And so it's hard to know if he's really upset or if this is a publicity tour to try to sell books. You know, for me, I think if no matter who wrote the book, and Pippen, I don't want to diminish how good he was. I mean, he was an excellent player. I mean, and a great compliment to Jordan in that he was a terrific passer. He is the best wing disruptor, not on the ball, but off the ball. Great anticipation, great intelligence. I thought he had great emotional intelligence and was a terrific compliment to Jordan's, you know, fiery demeanor. He was a encourager in the mold of Steve Nash, Tim Duncan. So, this guy was an excellent, excellent player. And I still think his autobiography, his book should be Thank You, Michael. That should be the title.
That's the best title. I also like his list. Kareem, LeBron, Michael, the top three players of all time. I think that's what Jeff said.
That's what he said.
It sounds about right.
James. I didn't know if he meant James Edwards or LeBron James.
No, I think he meant LeBron.
I know he meant LeBron James. Yes. He mentioned
James Worthy,
his last
maybe.
Name.
Yes. I don't know.
Well, James Worthy better be careful now. Now he's starting to get up there with somebody that's pretty good.
He was pretty good.
That's why I went with James Edwards.
I love it. That's yes. Funny. And then finally, here he is on what happened in that series, in which he was on the sidelines as an assistant coach in the whole 1.8. Here's Jeff Van Gundy.
Trying to explain a selfish act, saying you would repeat the selfish act again, is confounding. It really is. Let's not forget, by him going to Kukoc, it worked.
They won. Right. Yes.
Right? So we were about to sweep. Like, if we won that game, we're going to sweep them because they're going to be broken because Pippen's, you know, sort of at that point abandoned his team. And Pippen wasn't that type of player anyway. He wasn't a catch-and-shoot, like, player. Like, that wasn't his game. He was a great inbounder on those plays. So for him to take offense to me that Phil Jackson slighted him, no, it's a team game. And you're trying to – and he was an unselfish player. So why would you take offense that Phil Jackson decided to go somewhere else with the ball? That doesn't make every coach's decision, you know – right or correct, but it certainly wasn't a slight. Phil Jackson, you know, and you never accused me of being in the fan club, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he was great in those situations. And I don't know about you guys, I don't know the inner workings, but he probably is the furthest thing. I would think maybe many others might have been accused of racism in coaching before Phil Jackson. I was stunned that he threw that accusation out there.
In fairness, Scotty did walk a lot of that back, too, when he had said he had more time to think about it and reflect. All right, 312-332-3776. Little Bears-Ravens breakdown coming up next. There's an Achilles heel to both of these offenses, York. They actually share something in common, kind of a dubious distinction. Which team will figure it out ahead of the Week 11 matchup, plus the latest on the injury report? And there were a lot of big names on both teams' injury report yesterday. So we'll get into that when we come back in 2 minutes.